Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host for the podcast. And today we've got Judy on the show. Now, I know you may not know who Judy is, but I do. And you're going to love this because Judy's going to be talking all about finances or money and our limiting beliefs. And I know we've all had them over our times. I still have to put my hand up. I still get them too. You know, we get those sort of feelings that money's just not there, or we can't do it, or all those beliefs. Now, we've picked them up at an early age, but I'm not going to tell you about that because Judy's going to tell us all about that. So subscribe, like, share the podcast because you are going to love this one today. All right, with no further ado, let's bring on Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hello. How are you?
I'm really, really good. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in the Tampa Bay area of Florida.
You're in Florida because, of course, I'm on the Gold Coast and it's stinking hot here today. So, yeah, we're really feeling it. Gold Coast, Australia, that is. Probably could tell with my funny accent. But let's get started with this because I really feel this is such an important topic because people are just not aware that we have these beliefs because of what we've grown through, what we've got an understanding of. And I know we get them really, really early, but we sort of really concrete them as we go along as well. We sort of make them true in some crazy ways. But what I want to first do, Judy, is ask you about your life. How did you get from being wherever you were, and you can tell us that, to where you are now?
All right, sure. As an IT management. And so I didn't have much exposure to things like subconscious beliefs or how you might change them. But I saw this process that I use work on my former husband and was fascinated because it didn't require me to interpret messages or sense where energy was moving. It's a very straightforward process. But I saw this used to help him get rid of an ache he had that a friend knew how to do this process. So once I saw it and saw it was something I could learn how to do myself, I started taking all the courses. And I've been doing this since 2011, started the business in 2014. And it makes me happy because it's making a big difference in the lives of a lot of people.
Okay, so you actually witnessed it happening, witnessed the change, and that was like your aha moment. That was your, okay, this stuff can work. Like, this is not so woo-woo. It can actually work.
Absolutely, yeah. It took about 5 minutes. I don't remember what it was that was happening, but it was 5 minutes probably before whatever it was gone.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And the funny thing is that with all the people that I've interviewed over the years, I haven't had anyone that sort of said, I watched it happen and then I wanted to do it. So you must have been open already to it. You must have had a little bit of an understanding to it.
Well, I got exposed to people who could do different things, different modalities. I just had not really experienced them myself or seen such a concrete example of them working. So yeah, this was a real clear message that this was something that was a big deal that had a lot of possibilities with it.
And what was the actual modality? What was that one called? Is it the same one you're doing?
The only thing I know.
Okay. So what was it called?
It's PsychK, PsychK. It's been around since the 80s.
Right. Okay. Now, We're gonna talk about this, but first of all, I want to get an understanding. I like to really drill down into the different areas. And in this, we're talking about rewriting our subconscious beliefs. What I want to get an understanding of first is exactly what are subconscious beliefs. And because we're talking about money or finances, I want to get some examples about that, if I may.
Sure, absolutely. So when we come in to this world, we're mostly like little sponges until we're 7 years old or thereabouts. And all we're doing in those first few years is building up our set of subconscious beliefs, which is how we perceive the world. It's what we think of is all the rules of engagement, basically. So we get them from our immediate family, from community, from institutions. And it's all the things about, you know, how valuable you are to other people, what you think of yourself, what do you think is safe, what do you think is not safe. You know, all of those beliefs are how we perceive the world and translate, you know, what it means to us.
Okay, so when we're talking about, you're saying from the like very early ages up to the age of seven type thing, that's when we do all our learnings, which I absolutely agree with. That's exactly what we do. How do we get learnings about money and finances at that particular stage? Because I can assure you, I didn't even see what a boy was until I was in my teens, let alone what money was until I was in my 20s, I don't think, because it didn't mean anything to me. And yet we are picking up these beliefs at such an early age. So what does that look like? As a seven-year-old, what does it look like to have a belief in money, in or a negative belief or whatever it is?
Sure. Well, if everybody in the family thinks there's not enough money to go around, that it's very scarce, you're going to grow up thinking it's not available. If you think that that something is too expensive to buy, if you think that it's not good to have more than you need, you don't want to be greedy. Sometimes people don't. It's not okay to have a lot of money because you don't want to be like those other people that you don't like the way they act. There are all sorts of beliefs that you get. The message of we can't afford that, or money doesn't grow on trees, or you don't deserve nice things. I should never have bought you that because you didn't deserve it. Little kids can break a present at Christmas. And, you know, an exasperated parent can just say, well, you don't deserve to have new toys. You can pick up beliefs like that from anything. Sometimes it's an ongoing message, and sometimes it's a one-time thing that sticks.
Ah, now you're starting to talk. This is what I'm liking. Because, you know, when people sort of say to me, oh, you know, we pick up our beliefs by the age of seven. And I sort of go, well, I don't remember those. But I do remember the life that I was living in that sort of an area. Now, I came up with grew up with a lot of kids. There was eight kids in my family. So just that in itself, Mum didn't have to say, we can't afford that. I somehow knew that we couldn't afford that. And so this was this belief that I've picked up. Now, I don't know how I picked it up, but that was a belief I had. And so when we are referring to our children, when we are living in our lifestyle, living in our world, we have to be very mindful that if we've got somebody under the age of seven, even if we've got somebody older, we're actually relaying those messages to them because they're our beliefs that we're putting onto our children.
I heard a beautiful story. One of my friends here grew up in a home where money wasn't plentiful, but she can remember her dad always saying, we don't choose to spend our money on things like that, which I thought was a much better way to frame things up of, you know, it's a choice and we're choosing to spend our money on other things that we think are more important.
Yes, and I've heard that before. It is such, but of course, I learned that as an adult and my kids too. Oops, sorry about that, kids.
Right.
But it is true, yeah, and this is part of those self-doubt beliefs. Why I'm bringing that up and why I'm bringing it forward so much is because I think sometimes when we're doing all this learning, we can be a little bit hard on ourselves. And when we realize that we've picked this information up that we didn't even know that we were picking up. And that's where these beliefs come in so strongly, that we've had them in our system for so long and we just aren't aware of it. You know, I've heard people say, oh, you shouldn't be thinking like that. Well, guess what? I didn't know that you shouldn't be thinking like that. And sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves when we don't need to be. So tell me a little bit more about, we've got to this stage where we've hit seven, we've learned a lot of those beliefs. How are we concreting those beliefs in?
Well, we make choices based on those beliefs, right? And the more we choose things and the more we see things, the brain is wired to find examples to support our beliefs. So the longer we go with a belief, the more evidence we're going to be seeing that supports that belief. So that's kind of how they get concreted in. But the impact of the beliefs on you with the money or anything, basically, is it makes all your choices different. If you have a belief that you're going to easily run out of money, then it's you don't want to spend it on things, right? You don't think it's safe to be able to spend the money on something because you think you're going to run out. So you make choices on where you live and the type of job you make, choose, and all sorts of things that are based on financial decisions, based on your fear that the money's going to run out.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm doing examples here as I go along. All right. So say as a child, with lots of people in my family, lots of brothers and sisters, I had this belief that you don't waste things. So a very strong belief that, you know, don't be wasteful. Now it could be to do with finances. It could be to do with environment. It could be to do with whatever it is to do with, but it's like, I can't waste things. And one of the things that I remember as a child was, if you didn't eat all your dinner, you didn't get dessert. And even today as an adult, I still have to eat what's on my plate. And I really struggle to eat that sometimes. But that's an example of that limiting belief, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Any of those things that are where you struggle, where you get frustrated or feel fear or anger, or if there's a pattern where there is resistance or discomfort about something on a regular basis, if you know, there's subconscious beliefs there that are working with you against what you consciously would prefer.
Yeah, because I can turn around and say, look, I really don't feel like eating that, and yet I still sit there and do it half the time. But with the money side of things, so when there was another aspect, and I remember when I first started going through subconscious beliefs, it was actually quite some time ago, but I remember going through it and it was like, okay, I know I have to think differently about money, but the reality is, this is my way of thinking, the reality is I don't have money in the bank. I don't know where the money's coming from. I only have this much money coming in with my work and I have this much bills. So it's okay for me to change how I'm thinking, but the reality is, how can I change how I'm thinking when I have got these stresses on me, but, you know, paying bills and all the rest of it? So how do you help somebody with that? Like, how do we go with that?
What I've observed more often is that people don't believe it's okay to have more than they need. So they'll always make just enough. But if more comes in, something will take it away. But whatever it is, whether it's, you know, truly a gap between what you've got and what you need to spend, or whether it's that just enough threshold that I see really frequently, the first thing that you have to do is get rid of the fear. So you're not making good decisions when you're living in fear. It's a stressful place to be. And so if you can get rid of neutralize the fear and the panic about it, that would be the first place to start. And then start thinking about what it is that you'd really rather be experiencing. You know, what would the money get you? Would it be security? Or is it something that a different lifestyle that you want? Or is it freedom? Or you start thinking about what the money means for you and start working on beliefs around that.
Okay, so when you're talking about that money side of it, it's like there is, I remember writing a blog article similar to this about if you have extra money, what would you do with it? What is your main reason? I can't remember what the blog article was, but it was how we spend our money. And I remember thinking that if I have extra money, what do I spend it on? And I tend to spend it on security. Security is very, very high for me. And security could even just be putting money aside in the bank. It could be buying a new lock, like a physical security. It could just be an emotional security. And I tend to spend my money, my first lot of money, on security. The other side of it is aesthetics. So we're looking at aesthetics. If somebody's got extra money, they may want to go and buy a nice pot plant or something to make their house, make them feel better, get their hair done, do something different like that. So more of a aesthetics. And then the third one we looked at was more about freedom, like you said, or traveling, had goals to move, to get out, the freedom. It's funny how you actually mentioned all three of those. And that's what I've really focused on. And I've got an understanding now that if you look at the opposite to that, to my security, and you look at the opposite to it is the fear of not having that security, the fear of not having that freedom, or that fear of not being able to buy what you want when you want to, whether it's aesthetic, where it's I want to get my hair cut, I want to buy some new clothes, whatever it is in that sort of context. So when you understand what you would spend that extra money on, you can get an understanding of what that fear is and then start working on that fear.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's fear and sometimes it's a matter of feeling like you're not worth it, right? That you don't deserve to have the things that you would like to have. So, you know, that's where you start exploring. Is it a fear thing or self-worth type of a thing that's contributing to the issue?
Yeah. Okay. And so that's what you look at first. So we look at what is actually creating the problem to start with. And that is that subconscious limiting belief, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you help people with that?
Well, when they come in, usually they are very good at describing what they don't want, but they frequently don't have an easy time saying what they actually do want. They just don't want that anymore. So first of all, we figure out what they really would like. And then we narrow down what the beliefs are that need to be true for them to be experiencing that. And then the process itself is really straightforward. It usually takes less than 5 minutes to change any one belief. Now, usually situations are caused by a group of beliefs. So it will usually take more than 5 minutes to solve a whole situation. But it's a fast change process. And every time you change one belief, you're taking away one of the things that is keeping you from the goal that you want.
Yeah. Okay. And it is very true about the, getting a little bit of echo in there. That's very true about not knowing what you want, considering so many people do say, oh, I don't want to be like that, or I don't want this, or I don't want that. I even said it to my partner, what do you want to do next? Or what do you want to do, you know, in the next couple of years? And he sort of said, oh, I just want to get this health thing fixed up. I don't want to be sick anymore, you know. And it's like, what are you focusing on here?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's really hard for a lot of people to figure out what they really want. So, you know, the people I see and most of the people I know in one way or another, they're making all their choices based on what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Whoops, sorry, I better put it back on. Yes, that's very, very true. It is. They do make their decisions on what they're trying to avoid, what they don't want. How can they change the way of thinking there? Like, how do they start with that process?
Well, the first thing I always advise people is figure out what it is you want and then start filling in the details. Get really clear about what the details are about that new existence. Think of examples of how things would be in your life and zero in on what the visual details would be. What are you hearing people say? What are you saying to yourself? What is the emotion that you're feeling once you're in this new way of existing? Right. sometimes that can change the subconscious beliefs just by being very clear about what you want. If that doesn't work, then, you know, find somebody who can help you change them. There are lots of modalities out there that can help people.
Okay, so a lot of there's a lot of modalities out there that can help you. I absolutely agree with you, and I love your idea of it and your modality. But I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. When you're saying most people have trouble knowing what they want, how do they work out what they want? How do you do that?
They have to think. I mean, they really have to get in touch with themselves and figure out. It's their life, you know. They get to choose what they want to believe if they're working on changing them. But they have to make the decision on what it is they want to choose. I can't help them. It's not my judgment or my preferences. It's what they need to want.
Okay. I remember doing one little episode like that, and it was like write down all the things that you don't want. If that's all you can think of, write down the things you don't want. And then I had to actually go forward, and everything I didn't want, I had to rephrase it to the opposite. So if I didn't want to be short of money anymore, I had to rephrase it and say, I'm wealthy. I've got plenty of money, life's good, and start putting in some different areas there. And then once I did that and I had this big long list of it, it was like, well, what actually is important in there? What actually is in that list that really does resonate with me? And that's sort of how I got an understanding of what I wanted, because it's really challenging to try and find out what you want.
It can be, right? Yep. People are sure they know when they come in because they know the problem. But you kind of have to define, you know, when I was in IT and people would want changes to their systems, right? They had a problem with the way the system was functioning, or they had a new feature they wanted to add. They had to tell me what it was they wanted. I could make suggestions. I could say, this is what I've seen other people do. These are some things you might want to consider, but you know, they're the ones who figure out what it is they want for their system. And it's the same way with your beliefs.
Yeah. Okay. So when you're talking about getting an understanding of those beliefs, it is about maybe doing the meditation or getting more in contact with yourself and how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right. You can contrast it to what it is that's going on that you don't care for. But you need to figure out what to replace it with.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I actually want to say, first of all, before I go any further, because I've got the little ticky tape going down at the bottom, but the people on the podcast can't read that. They can only hear. So if you want to connect with Judy, her website is alignedconsciousness.com. So A-L-I-G-N-E-D, alignedconsciousness.com. So you can contact with Judy there. Now, okay, so I've got this. I can hear that echo coming back again. I've got this limiting belief on finances, because we're talking about money. What would be I know we've talked about the steps, but I want to actually really narrow it down just to finance. So what would be the first thing that you would tell somebody to do?
Well, it depends on what their beliefs were. So, you know, I work a lot of times with people who have their own business, a lot of entrepreneurs. So I can give you an example of some of the things that I have seen. I have seen people who are panic stricken at the idea of having to write a check for anything. Anytime the bills needed to be paid, they would feel almost frozen with the thought of having to spend that money. And with that one, it's an emotion that comes up with them. That's, you know, a really uncomfortable emotion. And with those, instead of coming up with an affirmation style statement, we work at transforming that stress around that situation into peace and non-attachment. And that way they can not be reacting to situations. They can be responding to them and making better choices. It's the same type of thing I do with people with phobias. I've seen many people who just transform that stress around money to peace and non-attachment. And then we could tackle some specific areas about it of, I have enough money to pay for everything I need, or it's okay to have more than I need, or, some statements like that, that they want to be true. And we basically install those in the subconscious. But other people, it's like there can be a lot of things that you think are about money that are about other things. You can have a fear of success that is keeping you from making money. It's not the money so much as something else about the success that is you've got subconscious beliefs about it. So I had a client once that was a very good coach. She knew what she was doing, but her business wasn't growing the way it should have been. And it turned out that she had a subconscious belief that in order for her business to be successful, she had to work 24/7, basically. And she had additional priorities to her business. She had family and she did a good job of self-care. So her subconscious was keeping her from jeopardizing those other priorities by making sure her business didn't grow too big and get too successful. And once she changed the beliefs that were about having, you could only be as successful if you worked that hard, the business grew, and she certainly had the ability to decide how big she wanted it to be and how many hours she wanted to spend. But she just didn't have the beliefs to support that.
Now that's good. I like the examples, because that we can resonate with that. I can get an understanding of that, especially as an entrepreneur myself. And the other, like we sort of see them as those glass ceilings. That's how I sort of see them. For some reason, I can't get from point A to point B. I can see it. That's where I want to go, but I can't get through it. And it's like this glass ceiling. And that's almost, that is a limiting belief, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can believe, you can have a fear of being visible. A lot of people, it's not safe to be visible or to be heard. So you're not going to get past a certain level. A lot of the entrepreneurs I work with came from a corporate environment, and they didn't believe subconsciously that they could ever make the money that they did in their corporate jobs. So you just change the belief, right? In a corporate job, there's job, there's pay ranges that are associated with the jobs. You're more limited there than you are as an entrepreneur.
Yes. Okay, cool. And so what are the, when we're talking about that, because I really love the examples that you're giving, because I can really resonate with that side of it. So what other sort of limiting beliefs in that realm have you had with people coming through? No names, of course, just.
No, absolutely not. So I worked with a guy who had two businesses, and he just started both of them, and neither of them were going where he wanted them to go. And he was actually considering stopping both of those and going and finding a corporate job again. And we found out that he had a belief that for a business to be sound, it had to grow slowly. And we changed those, and he immediately started getting more business. It's amazing how things respond when you change the beliefs.
Wow. I really like that. And when you're doing this, I'm going to actually pop before I ask you that question. You've got a book. We're going to talk about the book in a minute. I put that up on the little ticker tape. So it's Your Four Truths, How Beliefs Impact Your Life by Judy Kane. Kane with a K. But before I go into the book, I want to, I forgot what I was going to say. When you're working with people like this, because I'm really interested, when you're working with people like this, can you work remotely?
Yes, I work with everybody only remotely.
Oh, okay, yeah. And so how do you do that? Can you give us a rundown on that one?
Sure. The way we figure out what's in the subconscious is with muscle testing, which if your listeners don't know what that is, it's something that's used by nutritionists frequently to figure out what nutrients the body might need. Some chiropractors use it to determine where to manipulate something in the body. In Psych K, we use it to figure out what the subconscious believes. And so when I'm in the room with somebody, and if I ask them to hold their arm out to the side, your brain sends a message to the arm and your arm goes up. And then if I said, think of something you like and press lightly on the wrist, your wrist would stay up because you were sending a signal for your arm to be there. But if I ask you to think of something you dislike and push lightly on the wrist, there's a dip, right? So there's a different signal that's going with that. And so that'll work for things that stress out your subconscious. It'll work for beliefs, whether they're true or not. And it'll work for yes, no types of answers. That's what we do to figure out what's in the subconscious, because otherwise we're guessing. And so I do the muscle testing for the people when I'm working with them remotely. And we just go through and you know, if it's a statement they want to be true and they say it and it tests weak, that means your subconscious did not believe that. If it tests strong, then your subconscious already believes that. That doesn't need to be changed. But it must be something else that's contributing to the issue.
So basically you go through a series of questions and mm-hmm. you're sort of getting a yes to no answer for it.
Yeah. And so when we find something that's weak, that is contributing, that, you know, that we want to change, the actual change process is very straightforward. It really usually only takes, it doesn't usually take as long as 5 minutes to change any one belief. And it involves getting in different postures that are enhancing the ability to make this change in the subconscious. But it's, you know, you can be sitting for the whole thing. You're perfectly awake and aware and participating. I'm just a facilitator with the process, basically.
Oh, well, that's really cool. So anyone can do that anywhere in the world.
Like a workshop.
you've got workshops as well, have you?
Well, I'm not an instructor, but Psych K does. Yeah, it's not something you're going to go on the internet and learn how to do by watching. You need to either see a facilitator or go take a course and become one.
Okay, so when I asked you, can you do this remotely? Like, could you work on me? Because you couldn't do the muscle testing on me because you wouldn't be here to do it?
No, I can. That's what I do for the client when I'm working with them remotely. I do the muscle testing part.
Oh, I see. So you're getting intuitively that meant, okay, yep. I understand that now. So
connect through the quantum field and I can do the muscle testing.
Yes. Because I know muscle testing, but I thought you'd had to be here to be doing the muscle testing. But no, you're doing it on behalf of that person.
Yeah. And then the rest of it, the client is doing wherever they are. As far as I know, I've worked with people in 6 of the 7 continents. I don't think it's been anybody in Antarctica, but I don't always know where they are.
Right. Oh, that's really cool. All right, I want to talk about your book now. What is your 4 truths, how beliefs impact your life? What are you referring to in that?
All right, so this was a collection of things I've noticed working with people over the years, that most of the situations people were trying to change fell into 4 groups. And they were based either on the fact that they didn't feel safe about something, that they didn't feel worthy of something, they didn't feel lovable, or they didn't feel connected to something bigger than themselves. So the 4 truths, you know, if you're living a fulfilled, authentic life where you're meeting all your basic needs, you know, you feel safe, you feel worthy, you feel lovable, and you feel connected.
Oh, okay. And with the book, what is it going through those 4 truths so you get an understanding what it means and then how you can change the belief?
It's clues, you know, so it's a lot of stories about examples of how these could show up in your life. You know, what would it look like if you did believe them, and what would it look like if you didn't? And examples from mostly my stories, but some other people have contributed some stories in there to help me out as well. But yeah, it's examples of how these show up.
Okay. And can you get that on Amazon or just through your website?
Well, if you go to my website, you get choices, but you can definitely go straight to Amazon because that's one of the choices. But for the people who don't like Amazon, from the website, you can choose a different place.
Yep, cool. And of course, the website is alignedconsciousness.com. So you can get it from there. And the book is called Your Four Truths, How Beliefs Impact Your Life. Judy, thank you so much for that. That was really interesting. I actually got a lot out of that. Whoops, I'm going to press the wrong buttons now. Have you got one last thing that you can share with us?
Yeah, I do. You know, my big message to people is if you've got repeating patterns of things that are not serving your conscious goals, you've probably got subconscious beliefs that are causing that. And you can change this. It's not like you're stuck with these just because they've been there as long as you can remember. So, you know, don't feel despair or frustrated. Find a way to make a difference so that you can live the life you want.
Ah, that's lovely. And like you say, it's not hard. You can reach out to the right people, and you are one of those right people. To the right one, as far as changing your beliefs like that, it's going to make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's funny because you were saying a few of those things. And one of the things that was really resonating with me is I have a belief with my business that you've got to make sure all your foundations are right before you can do anything. And of course, trying to get your foundations right, they're constantly changing. Your foundations are, in a business, are constantly changing and moving. And yes, they need to be able to be there, but they've also got to be flexible. And so when you've got these flexible foundations, it's like you're never going to grow up, keep on going, because I'm so busy trying to juggle all these flexible foundations.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe a belief or two there would help.
Okay, yeah, I know I'm broken. It'd be good. Maybe I should do that one day on a podcast and sort of go, okay, this is what it's like. Work on me and get me fixed and we'll be fine.
Just imagine, no, just picture what you'd rather it look like. Now, how do you want to be?
Yeah, that's true. And I tend to go there, but I probably don't go there enough. You're so busy going, as an entrepreneur, you're so busy going, got to get this done, got to get this done, got to get this done, got to, that you sometimes forget to go, hang on, stop, breathe. What is it we're trying to do here? You know, what is it we are looking at here? And just giving yourself that time too. But yes, I'm going to look at mine a little bit deeper. I do believe I have limiting beliefs there that are holding me back. And I also believe I've got limiting beliefs there that I'm quite happy to allow them to hold me back. What do you say to that?
Absolutely. That is one of the things that is a troublesome aspect is if you're really attached to your story, if there's some secondary benefit to the situation that you're trying to change, it's going to be hard to do that until you get rid of that, until you figure out what the benefit is for it. Find another way to get that benefit, or find a way to retell your conscious story, the story you tell yourself, because those conscious beliefs can be just as troublesome as the subconscious ones.
Yes, yes. And I know it's like, because being an entrepreneur, there's lots of things you've taught and you know, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And you put all these things in place and you're doing all the right things. But I remember getting to a stage where I've gone, I know I'm supposed to be doing that, but I just really, if I do that, I just don't want to. And I change the way I'm thinking to allow that negative subconscious belief, be okay. And I know I'm doing it because I often go, you shouldn't be doing that. You know you shouldn't be doing that. And I go, yeah, no, I shouldn't be doing that. But that, okay. And I guess it's awareness, isn't it, Judy, really?
Awareness is a good one. And then also paying attention to your self-talk, right? Be a little compassionate. We can't be making all the right things in a high speed, you know, on a constant basis. That's not realistic. So setting some goals that give you a little space to relax and think about what you want to do next instead of always being in a reaction, I think is important. But that self-talk is a real big clue of, okay, well, I maybe shouldn't be taking 30 minutes to do this thing I want, but you know, everybody needs to take a break and chill a little bit. So just being nicer to yourself, I think it's really important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And I know I am my worst enemy, and probably we all are our worst enemies at some times. But, yeah, I totally get the understanding behind it. And I am open enough to go, you know what, you really could be thinking a little bit better there. But you're choosing not to at the moment, so be it. Maybe look at it tomorrow.
Well, I mean, you know, it's your business. You get to decide how you're going to spend your time and what your priorities are. And self-time, you know, self-care is a big part of being effective as a business owner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it can be, because it can be so challenging. You're getting pressure from so many places outside. And even if you haven't got your business, you're still getting pressures. You know, like you've got kids at school, they need to do excursions, they need uniforms, they need this, they need that. There's so many pressures that we have in our life that we do sometimes have to sit back and go, okay, well, yeah, I could have probably, one of the things I do with my children when I talk about children growing up, and I remember saying it quite clearly, going, yes, I could have done things a little bit differently, but at the time, I didn't know any differently.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's where I go, that's where I feel like I'm empowering myself.
Mm. Yeah.
But we're running out of time. I'm gonna have to say goodbye, Judy. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Wait there, don't go away, because I did you want to say anything else before I go?
No, just thank you. I've loved the conversation.
Thank you. I will just hang on, press the right buttons. Guys, jump on the website, alignedconsciousness.com. Have a look at Judy's website there and book up. Book up if you feel like you've got any of those restricting, maybe I need to book up, maybe I need to book up a couple of times, because I know I've got them. I know I've got them. But I also know that you've got to be in the right frame of mind for them to be moved and moved properly, you know, be moved well, I should say. So if I'm in that right frame of mind, I know I can go to somebody like Judy and we can get it done just like that, because I'm in the right frame of mind to allow her to help me. If you're not in the right frame of mind, then you're going to have a lot more trouble doing it. So jump onto her website, book up a session, and we'll go from there. Or just have a look at the book. Grab the book, Your Four Truths, How Beliefs Impact Your Life by Judy Kane. All right, that's it for us this week. I will say subscribe. I will say subscribe, like, share the podcast. We would really love to have you on board. And I will see you next week. Okay, bye for now.